here's a story from The World.
The Spanish capital, Madrid, is seeing one of Europe's worst second-wave coronavirus outbreaks right now. Residents like Beatriz García-Ríos say they feel like local officials have just left them alone to fend for themselves.
Nobody's supporting us. That while we try to get on with our lives, not touching anybody, and always on your guard, always afraid, there is no one there. It is a complete disaster.
Miguel Hernan says Madrid could benefit from looking at New York City's efforts to beat back a second wave. Hernan is an epidemiologist with Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Madrid and New York City were on very similar trajectories earlier on in the pandemic. They were both hit hard back in March. How much did Madrid and New York have in common when they set out to battle this virus?
They are big cities. They're very dense. They have a large network of public transit. They have hundreds of thousands or millions of visitors per month. And both had a very explosive outbreak of coronavirus that overwhelmed their contact tracing system, their hospitals, to the point that a lockdown was needed to bring down the number of cases. And in June, both cities had very low number of cases.
Right. By June, each city had bounced back, but now they've diverged spectacularly. What is the data telling us now about how New York and Madrid compare?
The second wave in Madrid is very, very high. So we can look at the number of people who are at the ICU. And if you look at that, you see that where that number in New York City is very low. It's not even reported or used as a criterion now because it's very, very low. More than 50%, 50, of the ICU beds in Madrid are now occupied by COVID-19 patients.
Wow. So how do you explain, Miguel, Madrid's failures in comparison to New York City?
There are many differences. One of them is the number of tests. Both cities doing the worst of the epidemic. Both cities had more than 70% of people tested were positive, and that's a huge number. The number in Madrid is now over 20%, but in New York it's less than 1%, which tells you that the number of tests is not as high as it should be in Madrid. Besides that, the number of people that have been hired for contact tracing is an order of magnitude larger in New York than in Madrid. Also, there is the issue of the speed of the reopening of business, of course.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, the poor corners of Madrid, where social distancing is difficult, it's especially hard hit, which squares with a trend worldwide. And yet children from those neighborhoods are going back to school in person. Is that wise?
We will see very soon. The problem is that having children in school when the contact tracing system is not up to speed and the number of tests available may not be sufficient is especially dangerous in a city like Madrid, in which many families live in households with three generations.
What about indoor dining in Madrid? Is that becoming a thing again?
It has become a thing since June, and that is one of the biggest differences between Madrid and New York City. Indoor dining open in Madrid together with bar service. It opened at 60%, but the enforcement of that was light. Whereas in New York City, there is no indoor dining. It will open on September 30th with no bar service. And that may explain a lot of the differences between Madrid and New York City.
Well, we do know that indoor dining and bar service are some of the riskiest behaviors one can undertake in the pandemic. Miguel Hernan is an epidemiologist at Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
From PRX.